Right now, the smartphone sitting in your pocket, or the laptop sitting on your desk, it likely has more raw mathematical processing power than the supercomputers that map the human genome.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a genuine marvel of modern engineering. But when that same device stutters while loading a web page or just chokes on a high definition video, you probably look at it and wonder if it's actually just an overpriced piece of junk.
Right.
Because you peel off that satisfying plastic film when you buy it, and the screen is incredibly bright and it feels fast. But there's this massive chasm between, feeling snappy while scrolling through a social feed and actually knowing what the graphical engine under the hood is truly capable of.
It is the classic sports car dilemma. I mean, really. The paint job looks incredible, the infotainment system is responsive, and the leather smells great. But until you actually put the engine under intense sustained load on a track, you have absolutely no idea if it's a finely tuned machine or just a golf cart with a really aggressive body kit and a loud exhaust.
Exactly. Which brings us to our mission for this deep dive. Because historically, figuring out the truth about your hardware, it required a degree in computer science, or at least a very high tolerance for downloading incredibly sketchy-looking diagnostic software from the deepest, darkest corners of the internet.
Well, the malware risks were real.
Seriously. But today, we are exploring a suite of tools we found at gpustrustests.com. We're going to dive into how you can push your hardware to its absolute limits securely right from a web browser. And more importantly, we are going to decipher what all those stress test metrics actually tell you about the invisible physical processes happening inside the devices you use every single day.
I've actually already been making extensive notes on this platform. Because what
Yeah.
we're really talking about here is separating surface-level software optimization from true, resilient hardware capability.
Yeah.
It's very easy for a device to fake being fast for 2 seconds by boosting its clock speed. It is physically impossible to fake being fast when you are rendering a massive 3D fractal in real time because, you are slamming into the limits of physics and silicon.
To really appreciate why this tool is so special, I mean, we have to talk about how agonizing hardware testing used to be. I remember dedicating entire Saturday afternoons to this.
Oh, I've been there.
You download a massive executable file, install it, update your drivers, reboot your machine, pray it doesn't crash your operating system, and then run the test.
And if it crashed, you didn't even know if the hardware failed or if the software just had a bug.
Exactly. But according to our source, gpustrustest.com operates entirely differently. There are zero downloads, no signups. You literally just open a web page.
What's fascinating here is how it achieves that accessibility by leveraging WebGL and WebGPU.
Okay, what are those exactly?
So these are modern web standards that allow the browser to bypass the usual software layers and talk directly to your graphics card. And because it's built on these universal web standards, it is completely cross-platform. We're talking Windows, Mac OS, Linux, all natively supported.
Without changing a single line of code.
Exactly.
And mobile devices, that's the part that really blew my mind. You can run these on smartphones and tablets.
So, returning to our car metaphor, it's like you want to put your car on a mechanic's dyno machine to test the horsepower, but instead of driving to a specialized garage across town.
The dyno machine just magically materializes in your driveway.
Yes, you just click a link. They even let you export your results to a JSON or PDF file, which is just brilliant if you're trying to document a failing graphics card for a warranty claim.
Well, that documentation piece is crucial for IT professionals, actually. Imagine having to standardize testing across hundreds of machines in an office.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Right. You don't want to install diagnostic software on 500 laptops. You just send a link, have them run it, and collect the PDFs. I have to push back on this mobile application for a second, though. If I am running an intensive graphical stress test on my smartphone, right in the browser, isn't there a very real risk of my phone turning into a brick of hot lava?
It's a fair question.
Because smartphones don't have cooling fans, is it actually safe to push a sealed glass box that hard?
It is a very valid concern, but yes, it is entirely safe.
Yeah.
Modern hardware architecture is essentially designed to protect itself from us.
From our own testing.
Exactly. The source explicitly points out that modern GPUs have built-in thermal protection mechanisms. The silicon itself is constantly monitoring its own temperature. If the chip starts approaching a dangerous heat threshold, it will automatically throttle its own performance.
Like pulling its own parachute.
Right, long before it sustains physical damage. You'll literally see the frame rate drop as it slows itself down to cool off.
Yeah.
Furthermore, because these tests operate within the sandbox of the web browser, they are inherently limited by the browser's own safety parameters.
Okay, so the browser acts like a chaperone at a high school dance, making sure the GPU doesn't party too hard and hurt itself.
That is a very apt way to put it, and that's what makes this tool so revolutionary. It bridges a massive gap. On one side, you have casual users who just want to know if their old iPad is dying, and on the other, you have IT professionals who need granular, real-time metrics.
Things like precise frame times and memory usage.
Exactly. This platform gives you the professional metrics without requiring an IT degree to decipher the setup.
Okay, let's unpack this obstacle course. Because gpustrestest.com doesn't just run one generic make the screen flash test. It actually has 7 distinct stress tests.
7 different hurdles, yes.
It's essentially a digital decathlon for your graphics card. Because a GPU isn't just a single-purpose calculator. It has different architectural muscle groups that need to be targeted individually.
A modern graphics processing unit is an incredibly complex multi-tool. It's handling physics, memory pipelines, video decoding, and raw mathematical algorithms, often all at the exact same time.
So if you only test one thing,
you might miss a failing memory module or a broken rendering pipeline entirely. To test it properly, you have to isolate those functions and push them to the breaking point.
Let's look at the first set of tests, which focus on what I'd call the visuals. This includes the 3D rendering test and the texture rendering test. Now, the 3D rendering test focuses heavily on geometry and dynamic lighting, right?
Right. This is fundamentally about drawing the physical shapes. Think of geometry as building a wireframe house out of millions of tiny interconnected triangles.
Okay, a wireframe house.
The GPU has to calculate where every single vertex or point of those triangles sits in 3D space as you move the camera around. Then, it has to calculate how imaginary light sources bounce off those surfaces.
That sounds like a lot of math.
It is. One of the key metrics it tracks here is draw calls. A draw call is essentially a command from the CPU, the brain of the computer, telling the GPU, the artist, to draw an object.
So the CPU is the manager?
Yes. If a scene has too many draw calls, the CPU gets bogged down acting as a manager, and the GPU just sits there waiting for instructions.
So the 3D rendering test is making sure the manager and the artist are communicating efficiently.
Exactly.
But a wireframe house looks terrible, which is why, immediately after, the suite hits it with the texture rendering test. If geometry is building the wireframe house, textures are the high-definition brick, wood, and glass wallpapers you paste over the wireframe to make it look photorealistic.
That's a great way to visualize it.
The source notes this stresses the VRAM, the video RAM, and texture sampling speed by throwing high-resolution images at the GPU.
And VRAM is an incredibly vital component. Think of VRAM as the physical disk space your GPU has to work with. If you are working with massive 4K resolution textures, you need a massive desk to hold all those heavy blueprints at once.
What happens if the desk isn't big enough? Like if I'm running a brand new game on an older laptop with very little VRAM?
That is where the system chokes. If the VRAM desk fills up, the GPU cannot just stop working. It has to take those textures and stash them in your system's main RAM, the general memory of the computer.
Yeah, that sounds inefficient.
Highly. To do that, the data has to physically travel across the motherboard through a pathway called the PCIe bus, and then come back when it's needed.
Like a detour.
In the world of computing, having data travel physically across the motherboard is like shipping a package overseas. It is incredibly slow compared to having it right there on the GPU's own memory chips.
Wow.
That bottleneck is what causes those violent stutters or freezes when you spin the camera around in a game. This specific test monitors that memory usage and sampling speed directly to see if your VRAM is fast enough to keep up with the illusion.
It's amazing how physical distance on a motherboard, like just a few inches, translates to visual lag on a screen. So we've built the solid house and painted it, but the real world isn't just solid objects. What happens when the hardware has to render something fluid, like an explosion or flowing water or a smoke grenade?
That requires an entirely different architectural approach, which is exactly what the particle system test evaluates. Unlike a solid brick wall, a puff of smoke or splashing waves is made of thousands of individual tiny graphical dots or particles.
Wait, and the GPU actually has to calculate the individual trajectory of every single speck of dust or drop of rain?
Every single one. For every single frame of animation, 60 times a second. It has to calculate gravity, wind resistance, velocity, and collisions for thousands of independent objects simultaneously.
That is mind-boggling.
This relies heavily on parallel processing. A CPU is very fast at doing one complex task at a time. A GPU is designed to do thousands of simple math problems simultaneously. The test tracks the active particle count alongside physics FPS.
So it's pushing those parallel cores.
Exactly. It is pushing the parallel processing cores to see exactly how much sheer numerical chaos your hardware can handle before the illusion falls apart.
Well, if the GPU is that good at doing thousands of tiny math problems at once for rain and smoke, it makes sense that engineers would want to use it for other things. Which brings us to the next category, the math.
Yes, the compute side.
Right. This involves the shader performance test and the web GPU compute test. Now, the shader test measures visual effects, but the source notes that the web GPU compute test measures raw compute throughput and dispatches. Can you break down what a compute dispatch actually is?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, graphics cards were originally designed strictly to push pixels to a monitor. But scientists and engineers quickly realized that the unique architecture of a GPU, those thousands of tiny cores designed to calculate raindrops simultaneously, is perfectly suited for other kinds of complex data.
Like what?
Things like artificial intelligence, machine learning, crypto mining, or even protein folding simulations.
So totally divorcing the graphics card from graphics.
Precisely. And WebGPU is a cutting-edge web standard that gives web applications direct access to that raw underlying math power. When the test measures dispatches, it is quite literally measuring how many blocks of complex mathematical instructions the browser can hurl at the GPU cores, process them, and get the answers back.
Okay, so a dispatch is a bundle of work.
Yes. It evaluates compute time and efficiency without drawing a 3D image at all. It is treating your graphics card purely as a supercomputer.
That is wild. It's literally turning an ordinary web browser tab into a supercomputer terminal. Okay, let's bring it back to something a bit more everyday. The next stage of the gauntlet is the media, specifically the video playback test.
A very practical test.
Right? The source states it checks the hardware video decode pipeline using high-resolution frames, watching for dropped frames, and buffer health. I have to admit this feels a bit out of place. Why do we need a grueling stress test for playing a video? My 10-year-old phone can play a YouTube video.
Your 10-year-old phone can play a video, yes. But the mechanics of how it does that are incredibly taxing. Video files are massively compressed to save space on servers and reduce bandwidth.
Okay.
They throw away huge amounts of visual data, keeping only the changes between frames. When you hit play, your hardware has to take that compressed zip file and rebuild the missing data, or decode it in real time, 60 times a second, pixel by pixel.
Oh, I see. So it's not just displaying a flipbook of images. It's actively solving a puzzle for every single frame.
Exactly. Modern GPUs have dedicated sections of silicon specifically designed just to decode video formats like HEVC or AV1. If you're on an older device without those dedicated decoders, or if that pipeline is failing, the system has to force the general processor to do the decoding.
Which I'm guessing is bad.
That is incredibly inefficient.
And that's when you get that horrible experience where the audio keeps playing, but the video freezes or the fan spins up like a jet engine just from watching a show.
The key metric here is buffer health. The buffer is essentially the waiting room. The hardware tries to decode frames in advance and keep them in the waiting room so the video plays smoothly.
Makes sense.
The buffer health metric tells you if your hardware is comfortably keeping that waiting room full, or if it is sweating and gasping for air, rushing to decode the very next frame just milliseconds before it needs to be on the screen.
Sweating and gasping for air. I love that visual. Which brings us to the final stage, the boss fight. Here's where it gets really interesting. It's called the volume shader benchmark.
Ah, yes. The big one.
The source says it renders a Mandelbulb 3D fractal with intensive ray marching to push the GPU to its absolute limits. I'm going to need you to decode this entirely because Mandelbulb 3D fractal with intensive ray marching sounds like a magic spell from a terrible fantasy novel.
It really does. But it is arguably the most brutal, unforgiving test on the entire platform. A fractal is a mathematical shape that is infinitely complex. Think of a snowflake. If you zoom into a fractal, the pattern repeats. No matter how close you zoom in, there's always more detail. Forever.
I'm with you.
The Mandelbulb is a three-dimensional version of that infinite complexity.
So you can't just draw it with triangles like the wireframe house we talked about earlier. There aren't enough triangles in the world to draw something infinite.
Exactly. You cannot build it with geometry. So instead, the GPU uses a technique called ray marching. Imagine standing in a massive, completely dark room filled with thick fog, holding a laser pointer.
All right.
You shoot the laser, and you have to calculate step by step, inch by inch, through the fog until the laser beam finally hits an object.
Okay.
Now imagine doing that mathematical calculation for every single pixel on your computer screen. If you have a 4K monitor, that is over 8 million pixels. So you are shooting 8 million laser pointers, calculating their path inch by inch through the fog millions of times a second, just to locate the surface of a shape that is infinitely complex.
Oh, wow. That is terrifying math. I feel bad for my laptop just thinking about it.
It forces the GPU's processing units to run at absolute maximum capacity. It tracks FPS, frame time, and total GPU processing time. Because it is doing so much sustained heavy math, if your device has any inherent hardware instability, if the power delivery is inconsistent or the silicon is degraded, the Mandelbulb will expose it immediately.
So what does this all mean? We've taken our laptop or our tablet through this grueling digital obstacle course. We've thrown VRAM bottlenecks, physics chaos, raw supercomputer math, and infinite remarching fractals at it. I actually ran the test on my laptop while we were talking, and my overall score was a 68. Should I be throwing this computer out the window? How do we read the scorecard?
A 68 is perfectly fine, actually. The process outlined by the source is brilliantly straightforward. Choose your test, run it for 1 to 5 minutes, and get your results. The scoring system grades your device out of 100.
Right.
If you score above an 80, your hardware is excellent, likely modern, and highly capable. The 60 to 80 range, which is where you landed, is considered good. It means the hardware is completely capable for most everyday use cases, standard web browsing, and media consumption.
That's a relief.
But if a device drops below a 60, it indicates that the hardware is either painfully old or there's an active issue like severe thermal throttling ruining your performance.
That definitely makes me feel a bit better about my laptop. But we do need to talk about the blind spots of doing all this in a browser, right? The reality check.
This raises an important question, and it's something the source is very transparent about. The biggest limitation of browser-based testing is visibility.
What do you mean by visibility?
A web browser, for incredibly important security and privacy reasons, is strictly sandboxed. It is not allowed to reach deep into your motherboard and read the physical hardware sensors. It can tell you exactly how fast the chip is doing the Mandelbulb math, but it cannot tell you if the chip is sitting at a comfortable 40 degrees Celsius or if it is currently cooking itself at 90 degrees.
The source also notes that your results can vary wildly depending on which browser you use, like Chrome versus Safari, and what specific software drivers you have installed. It's essentially looking at the hardware through the thick lens of the browser software.
Exactly. Which is why the source highly recommends that for deep hardware-level diagnostics, you must use dedicated desktop tools alongside their browser tests. They specifically highlight three industry standards: FurMark, MSI Afterburner, and GPU-Z.
I've actually heard of FurMark. People in the custom PC building community lovingly refer to it as the PC heater.
That is an incredibly accurate nickname. Yep. While gpustrustest.com tests your web graphics performance in quick 1 to 5 minute sprints, FurMark is designed to be a brutal hardware stability marathon.
A marathon.
You typically run it for 15 to 30 minutes. It is designed to pull maximum voltage through the motherboard's power delivery systems into the GPU while simultaneously monitoring the exact physical temperature of the silicon. It is literally testing whether your cooling fans, your thermal paste, and your copper heat sinks can physically dissipate the thermal energy before the system shuts down.
So it's testing the physical plumbing of the heat, not just the mass.
Exactly.
And then the source mentions MSI Afterburner, which is used for monitoring and overclocking, so actively tweaking the voltage and fan curves, while GPU-Z is this lightweight utility that reads the incredibly detailed raw hardware specifications burned into the silicon itself.
You really have to view them as a cohesive toolkit. The browser test is your quick, highly accessible blood pressure cuff. Anyone can use it instantly on almost any device to get a rapid assessment of performance. FurMark and GPU-Z are the full MRI scan at the hospital for when you need to see the deep physical mechanics.
That makes total sense. We've covered a massive amount of technical ground today. So, thinking about all of this, what stands out to you? If you look at your phone sitting on your desk right now or the laptop you're listening to this on, which of those seven tests do you think it would struggle with the most?
That's a great question to ask.
Is it the VRAM desk space required for high-res textures, or would that infinitely complex Mandelbulb ray-marching fractal just bring it to its knees?
Running the suite and finding out is a fantastic exercise in understanding the tools you use every day.
We started with the sheer magic of instantly loading a hardware diagnostic tool on a smartphone without downloading a single app. We moved through a grueling obstacle course of geometry, VRAM bottlenecks, physics chaos, raw compute math, and video decoding. And we grounded it all in the reality of scoring tiers and the absolute necessity of desktop tools like FurMark for checking the physical reality of heat and voltage.
I want to leave everyone with one final thought to mull over. building specifically on what we discussed regarding the web GPU compute test.
Okay, let's hear it.
If a simple web page, something you navigate to with a URL, can now orchestrate raw compute shaders, calculate physics for thousands of independent particles, and render massive 3D fractals to the point of physically maxing out dedicated hardware. What does this actually mean for the future of software?
Oh, wow. That is a profound question.
We are rapidly approaching a reality where the hard line between the web browser and the native operating system disappears entirely. If the browser can access the raw metal of the GPU with this much efficiency and power, the entire concept of downloading and installing native applications might become obsolete much faster than we think.
It really makes you reconsider what a web browser actually is. It's not just a window to read text or look at images anymore. It's a gateway to the raw processing power of the machine. So the next time you peel the plastic off a new device, you don't have to just wonder what's under the hood or hope it's a sports car rather than a golf cart. You can just open a tab, summon the Dyna Machine to your driveway, and watch it try to conquer the Mandelbulb.